assessment is mixed. There are some which are good and then others which are not good. But let us start with what is good. The government was supposed to be established in accordance with the revitalized peace agreement in 2019 after the pre-transitional period. But because of some delays in funding and in organization, the whole thing got pushed until we reached to 22nd of February 2020. And from that time, the establishment started with the highest level, that is the first vice president, and then the other vice president, which completed the presidency. And then now it came down to the new ministries, the 35 of them. But then when it came to the commission, there has been a problem. I'm curious if this year, where they constituted the National Constitutional Review Commission and also the National Election Commission, Political Parties Council commissions, and some few others, but most of the commission have remained unestablished so far. They also later reconstituted the national legislature, both of the National Legislative Assembly and also the Council of the States. And they went as far as also establishing the governments of the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas. Although again, still missing National Legislative Assembly, the same with the rest of the administrative areas. So far, it has been like partial reconstitution of the government, particularly at subnational level. But at national level, what is missing out are the commission and then the other authorities and agencies that were supposed to be technical and specialized. So far, from the time the government got established to be the custodian of the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement that was signed in September 2018, at least one over almost closer to 2 years. That's when they were established, and then Corona came in with its own challenges. So a lot of activities got delayed until we can say the government picked up to start really operating. It was from 2021. That was the time you can say now the government has picked up. And from that time, if we count up to now, 2021, we are in 2024, at least they managed to do something which we can appreciate them for. At least the capital city, which is Juba, has stayed peaceful. They have never been fighting in it. And also, the capital of the 10 states and then the 3 administrative areas, they have also been peaceful. They have not been major fighting among the parties in it. So that's something commendable you can say. This revitalized government at all levels, they have managed to maintain that level of peace in these areas. That's the side of the security. When you come to the side of economy, also, they managed to make sure that people are doing business here. And then the Ministry of Finance, the Central Bank of South Sudan are functioning. And then civil servants are getting their salaries. Not all of it, but they are getting some of these to maintain them. And then some of the services are being provided. There have been some roads that have been built. And then the Nomani Road has been also operating well. A lot of trucks coming and getting in. The river transport have also been working. And then shops and all other businesses have been operating.
Mm-hmm.
And people have expanded in the private market. And this has attracted a lot of foreigners to come to South Sudan and do business here. Also, airlines have expanded, and also the banking sector. So all these in the economic sector they have done better than before in one way or another. You come to the humanitarian side of ease access to humanitarian delivery. So far, the international partners and friends of South Sudan, they have been spending a lot of money on the humanitarian side, be it the World Food, be it health, be it the education, or be it other areas like a smaller agriculture. So a lot of money has been going to this sector. And if you go to the countryside mostly, you can see that humanitarian are the one responsible for most of the service delivery. So at least something good has been done in that sector. When you come to the rule of law sector, which is mostly the chapter of the justice system, and then the rest, including transitional justice, the judiciary has been operating, plus the other law agencies, bodies, but then the performance has not been that strong.
Mm-hmm.
At least there are a lot of backlog cases in the justice system. Prison is full of people who are on remand, and also full of people who are waiting for the cases to be looked at by the justice system. So that area has not been doing very well compared to the rest. And then there is a kind of a negligence to the judges and whatever. A number of them have also left to find other better jobs because judiciary has not been very attractive to them. But the police has been there. They have been trying their best and here, but mostly concentrated at the capital city, Juba, and also the capital of the state and the administrative areas. But if you go to the deepest rural areas, policing has been neglected totally, and people are taking care of themselves using their own traditional mechanism or community mechanism of keeping rule and order.
Yeah.
All this, and that's why if you see there are a lot of insecurity problems at the countryside, and then inside this capital, maybe some few criminal gangs here and there, but they're being managed by the police and then the whole of the security sector. So all in all, if you look at all this, what's happening, we can say so far we can see some benefit from the establishment of the government. From that time up to now, and then what is awaiting us is to go to the end of it, and the end of it is election.
Okay.
And we hope that's what we're waiting, and then we can give a full assessment of what was done. But then as long as, or as far as the revitalized peace agreement is concerned, I think we have not reached to half of it yet, half of what was supposed to be implemented, we are less than 50%.
Okay.
But at least that below 50% has carried us up to where we are now, and it is better than nothing. That's what people are saying.
Okay. What do you think might have happened to the political leadership of this country within Artigon not to cross the threshold of 50%, at least like you're saying, we are below 50%. What should be the main challenges of this government in the last 4 years?
The challenge has been the focus. Sometimes they lose focus on what they need to do as the core mandate, because the core mandate of this government, be it the executive or be it the legislature or be it the judiciary, the core mandate is focused on the implementation of peace agreement, and the implementation of peace agreement means reforms across all the institutions. They have not been focused very much on this. And the reason they were not focused because the partnership and and consensus that they were supposed to build so that they move as one block of government that is assigned to implement the agreement has not been there. They still have been categorizing themselves as IO, IG, OPT, SUA, and sometimes they block themselves from doing things because of this discriminative categorization while they are one government. So that has affected their working relation. And that working relation has implication on focusing on the activities that are supposed to be implemented so that you can say there is implementation. Then plus the funding. The issue of funding is not the missing of money in the country, but the priorities of where you should channel this money, particularly the oil revenues, the main oil revenues. It has been chaotic in that area. There has been lack of real control from government so that it can use this money and channel it to implement the activities that have been provided in the peace agreement. That has not happened. We could see huge chunk of money from the public coffers have gone into private hands. And private hands do not implement the agreement. It is the institution that are supposed to implement the agreement. And that's why you see many of the mechanisms that were supposed to implement the agreement, they remain unfunded. But if you go and observe in the market or even in the cities, you can see that few individuals are carrying huge amount of money as cash or in their account. And that already, the source of that money has been the Ministry of Finance and then the Central Bank of South Sudan. So this tells you that there is a missed opportunity to put the money where the priorities is. So that has been a challenge to that government, and that's why many of the institutions, they become almost paralyzed or dysfunctional because of lack of funding.
Okay.
So that's the second aspect. The third aspect of it is the international community. The international community, I think, they got fatigued, and also other problems pop up elsewhere. South Sudan is not the only country that the international community and international partners need to focus on. So a number of them, because of crisis elsewhere or crisis inside their country, they were not enthusiastic to support the government directly with the funding. So that also created a gap of funding. Unlike, for example, the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005, the funding from the international partners was very huge. But with this one, they decided to see what the government will do, and then they come and do. So the funding has been there for them to do it indirectly through other NGOs or through other UN agencies. But directly with the government, they were unwilling to deal. And mostly because also a lot of sanctions, individual sanctions that are targeted, it has scared also the international community not to contradict themselves, because they cannot sanction the same people who are connected with the government and again come and fund the same government. So this sanction has made them to stay aloof and watch if things improve. Perhaps if the election would have taken place, they could have changed their heart and say this is a new elected government given a mandate by the people, so we can come and deal with them directly.
Okay.
Although, like the World Bank, IMF, African Development Bank, they have tried to come in, but also not freely giving to the government. They are still in control at the back door. Even when they say they have given a certain amount to the Ministry of Agriculture or to whatever ministry to support them in something, still the money is being managed at the back door by these institutions. Even when IMF are saying they are giving credit facility to the Bank of South Sudan, they are still also giving a lot of restriction on this. So it's not It's not a free dealing. So this has also its own effect on the flow of money to South Sudan, and that has created a lot of shocks in the exchange market in all this, and the value of pound has been lower every year. It was just getting lower because of lack of this direct engagement with this international monetary institution. So this is where we are. These three main factors actually have affected us. And the last factor, which is the international community and the partners, we're talking also the region that are the guarantors of the agreement. A number of them went into their internal issues at home, and then they were not focused very much on the issue of peace in South Sudan. Particularly if you take Sudan now got itself into war, and it was the share of the IGAD. So it lost focus. It cannot have any leverage anymore. So it became another disengagement by the part of the international community, which is the region. And that's why you could see even the argument has almost become paralyzed here. Their word is not respected, even if they say what, or they say what, because their bosses in the region have lost the track over South Sudan. So this is where we are. But still, life is moving on. And then the agreement has not collapsed. At least there is a breathing space that this agreement has brought. And it is still there, and people are waiting how it will end.
Okay.
By the end of this year or maybe next year.
The country is approaching the end of the transitional period, with an election expected to be conducted at the end of this year in December. What are some of the immediate decisions the parties to the agreement should take right now to iron out some of the outstanding issues you have outlined already?
Yeah, the most important decision they should take is for all these parties that signed the agreement to converge. And then they converge, they come together, and now assess where they have come so far, and then what is the remaining challenge that they need to overcome. And now, since the end game of the agreement is the election, I think they need to converge and say, let's see how we conduct these elections and put the other thing aside until after election. And then see how we fund it. The little fund that we have, let us channel it toward the election and see how it moves forward. Because that is what can create a new dynamics. The extension will not create a new dynamics. It will create more frustration. But if you go for election, it will create new dynamics because of the new faces that might appear in the scene, the accountability that will come with the voters and all this. So it will have its own dynamics. So it is the central focus that the parties really wield their energy towards. All their energy, they need to sit down and say, this is what we need to do. It is not necessary that this election should take place in December. But if they sit down and they say, this is the only priority we are picking now, and we are keeping other priorities at the back benches until we clear this priority called election. I think that is the only thing I see the parties should focus on, and it will be the rescue to the country if they do that. While doing this, they can still negotiate with the all-out group, and the all-out group can now join the wagon of the election. And if they are not prepared for the election, they can still become part of the next elected government and then compete in the next election after this first election that we're waiting for. So this is what I see for the parties to prioritize, to focus on if something good has to continue in this country.
Is the country ready for an election come December 2024, according to you, in your own opinion?
You can categorize this question into three. If you ask the people, are they ready for election? Already there have been opinion surveys and assessment that has been done, and people are ready for election. There is no doubt about that. Across the country, they want it even tomorrow, not after tomorrow. That is what they say. They are fed up of this bloated government, which is consuming the services that would have gone to the people. It is enjoyed or it is consumed by the privileges of these leaders who are at the top. So people are frustrated on that. So they want election so that their power can come back, because the peace agreement does not give people power to account their leaders, but the election does. So that's why people are ready for election tomorrow. Not tomorrow, even today, if the election commission can speed up its work, if they get funded and everything goes well, people will be happy that now they will be electing the leaders for the first time in the Republic of South Sudan when it got independent, because we have not gotten any chance to conduct our own elections. So people are ready. The revitalized government of national unity is not ready. And we can understand that why they are not ready. A number of them are not popular in their constituencies. And a number of them have been detached with the people for long. So they are scared of the election. Some of them are even not known in their own areas. So who will elect an unknown person? That has been also the question to them. So a number of the leaders or those who are enjoying the seats of this government, they are not ready for election. They are comfortable that the situation continue as it is. So that's why they are not in a hurry. Even to talk about this, they are not in a hurry to fund the institution that should push the election forward. They are very reluctant with anything called election, because they are not sure whether they will make it back to the government or they will not. The international community is the third aspect. It is doubting between. I want to see the government taking the first step toward election, then they come and push it forward. So they want to side with the people that let the election take place. But then, because they are accredited by the government to operate, they cannot go against the government. So when the government is not ready, then they have to wait. Even when they know that the people are not ready, they cannot go and lead the people, because after all, the sovereignty does not belong to them here. They are just partners and they are friends of South Sudan. So they cannot lead the people. It is the government of South Sudan that should lead the people toward the election. So because of this, they have become a bit reluctant also what to do, because they are torn between the people who won the election and then the government who does not want or who is reluctant for election. So this is the situation where we are. And if you combine the mathematics around this, it means the international community with the government, they are on one side, and they are not in a hurry for the election, and it is the people who won elections. An election is organized by the government. So in one way or another, mathematically, people on one side and then the government and the international community on the other side, reluctant with elections. So it tells you that the election might not take place on time as people would have loved to see. So this is what we see.
Okay. And one of the major challenges this government is facing right now, they have been saying that on record, is the issue of funding disagreement is not forthcoming. And just recently we witnessed the reconstitution of the three major bodies, the Political Parties Council, the National Election Commission, and the National Constitutional Review Commission. And now they are also facing challenges of funding. The question people will be tempted to ask is, what can the government do to close the gap of funding, given the dwindling global crisis, where, like you mentioned, it's not only South Sudan that is in need, but also globally, there are crises all over the world now.
Yeah, the issue of funding, it comes back to the door of the government, because at the end, it is the government that should lead the funding for the election. And if the government does not lead this, it means the international community or the friends of South Sudan will not come and do it. But now, here is the government, those who are leading it are very skeptical whether they will be elected by the people if they fund that election. So you look at it in this way, who would like to fund an election where they will be a loser? So this has been the tricky question some of them might be asking themselves. So despite the fact that South Sudan does not lack funds, but it lacks prioritizing these funds, and those who are in charge of prioritizing and managing these funds be very reluctant for the election. So it tells you they will not prioritize channeling funds into these election entities and institutions. So they will, you will find that these funds are channeled elsewhere, but not to to this. So that election does not take place very quickly. In this. So this is very clear about who should fund the election. If the person who should fund the election is very skeptical about the result of that election or about they getting elected, then they would rather take it slowly, not to hurry, and maybe other things will develop themselves, and then they might have more time to enjoy in government rather than rushing to the election. So this has affected the will to fund the election because of the nature and attitude of the people who are in charge of government. So, and this is where we are today, and it put the international community, the international partners who were willing to rally their support behind the government, it put them into a dilemma whether to really come forward openly or wait. But the way it is now, they would rather wait until the government becomes serious. But when will this government become serious and fund the election commission? This is the question that everybody is asking. And people are saying they will never become serious because actually they are not willing to go for competition in that election because they are not sure whether they will win or not. So this is where we are today.
With all the positive issues you have talked about with this government 4 years down the line and also the shortcomings of this government, what will be your recommendation with just 10 months to the expected general election in the country?
Yeah, the recommendation will be focus on election. There is no any other exit. So whether you lose in that election or not, it is better you focus on it, and it is better you fund that election. And the moment you do it, you will get support from partners and from friends, and that election is 10 months is still a big time for election to happen. But just provide the funding, and that funding now will strengthen the institution and also the personnel that will be organizing this election. And then the election takes place, and later you can talk of other things after the election. So this is what do we recommend, not more than all this. Other things can be put aside, but the election, laying election aside, will have its own repercussion, and it is not good to do that. So it's better, the recommendation is that put everything aside. The parties that signed the agreement, they should come together as soon as possible and direct the road to the election. And now the government that is sitting should find the funds by all means. Even if they have channeled it to some private individuals or private companies, they need to bring some of this money back and fund the election. And after that, I think people can start to talk of a country called South Sudan.